A little bit of weed makes me come hard. Because I'm hotter than a jump start. My heart quicker than a shock when I get shot at the hospital.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a topic today we're going to be talking about that I've been talking about, well, since the beginning of the show back in 2005. And that is performance-enhancing drugs. Sometimes you got to talk about things that people are uncomfortable with in order to understand the truth within. The first show I ever did about performance-enhancing drugs was Porter Cottrell came on my show and talked about the drugs he used getting ready for the Olympia. I had Dave Palumbo on, too, who was notorious at that time because he was writing articles in Muscular Development telling the truth about drugs, their effectiveness, and their effects. And if you notice, back then, the medical orthodoxy was telling people these drugs caused heart disease and brain cancer and other cancers. And all of a sudden, you don't hear that anymore. And you know why that is? Because just like when we were kids and our parents told us if you smoked pot, you were going to die, and you smoked pot and you didn't die, the truth is out that these drugs are not killing anybody. And in fact, these drugs have a needed place in medicine because they are effective at what they do, which is building muscle and increasing physical performance. And the truth is that nobody has spent as much time studying the effects and the effectiveness of these drugs than my guest today, Dr. George Tsouliatos, who's going to be on with me in just a minute, all the way from Greece. Before we do that, I have to, of course, pay homage to our title sponsor, All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports. Right now, you can get six of their top-selling products absolutely free because Dr. Jeff believes that no one should buy anything until they've tried it. And he puts his money where his mouth is. And so right now you can get six of their top-selling products by going to superhumanradio.net, clicking the banner ad for EFX Sports, any one of them. There's several of them. Putting in your address and information. You will pay $5 and change for shipping, but that's all. And you will get to try these products, and if you like them, I'm sure there'll be coupons in there for discounts. And Dr. Jeff always surprises people sending lots more stuff than they anticipate. So check that out. All the way from Athens, Greece, the home of physical culture, George Tsouliatos. How are you doing, Dr. Tsouliatos?
Hello, Carl. Thanks for the invitation one more time.
Yes, of course. It's always a pleasure to have you on, George, because you're very knowledgeable, and you are also not a zealot. You tend to follow the science very closely.
Yeah, but accordingly to my also personal experience. So the combination is killing, huh?
Yeah. So on a global, I want to talk about some different things today within this discussion. So first of all, when I was in Ireland, I noticed that they had commercials showing women breastfeeding. They showed the whole boob, the areola, the baby suckling. You wouldn't see that in the United States. We're very, very anal retentive about those kind of things. And the same is true about drugs that are considered performance-enhancing drugs. While the agencies that govern sports may ban these drugs, as a whole, a lot of countries don't look at testosterone and its derivatives as poison, and so you can simply be prescribed these drugs. In countries like Mexico, where you can walk into a pharmacy without a prescription and buy these types of drugs. How is it in Greece? Can I go to a doctor and say, hey, I'm getting old, I want testosterone, will he prescribe it for me?
Not just testosterone, but also nandrolone. I prescribe nandrolone under cases of low bone mineral density that you can speed up the healing of fracture, you know, because DECA is supposed to increase the calcium retention, and this also favors osteoblastic activity. And so basically testosterone and DECA, and we also have Proviron, which is Mesterolone. It's synthetic DHT, which is prescribed for low self-esteem, poor libido, you know, in people over 60 years.
Did you say, you mean Masterone, you said, right? Masterone?
No, it's Proviron.
Oh, Proviron is DHT. Isn't Masterone DHT also?
Also, yes, it's injectable for the Masteron, and it was used for breast cancer.
Yes.
But Proviron, you can medically prescribe it when it's a low libido because of high SHBG and low free testosterone. So you give the DHT, and apparently it binds tightly to the SHBG protein, so it lets more free testosterone to circulate.
Right, right. And a lot of people don't realize this, that DHT is also... it promotes aromatase inhibition as well. So when you have sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase seem to go hand in hand, don't they?
Yes, yes. Estradiol and SHBG. But you know what is the funny thing here about? When you increase free testosterone, which is the active form of testosterone, the 2% that floats and it's bind free, you know, actually this is going to aromatize, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, so the tricky part is if you give Proviron to somebody who is natty and does not use anything, then you may elevate his free testosterone by lowering SHBG, but you will also observe a slight elevation in E2.
Interesting.
Yes, but not in terms of aromatization and gynecomastia, you know?
Yeah, it's a mild rise. And the truth is that most men don't have enough estradiol. Estradiol is protective to the brain. One of the things that people don't realize, there's an Italian doctor in Toronto that I communicated with probably a decade ago who did some fantastic studies on rodents. Her area of research was Parkinson's disease. And what she discovered was that estradiol, which is known as E2, which Dr. Touliatos is referring to here, for those of you who don't know what that is, estradiol is protective against... Parkinson's disease. It actually reduces the inflammatory response in the substantia nigra. And her research was very interesting. She took ovariectomized rats, so rats that had their ovaries removed so they couldn't produce any of their own estrogen.
And yes, but...
Just let me finish this. Just let me finish this, because then you can jump in. She gave one group MPTP, which causes spontaneous Parkinsonism. All the symptoms, the onset, the substantia nigra is destroyed. And a saline solution... And the other group she gave MPTP and estradiol. The group that got the saline solution and MPTP became spontaneously Parkinson. Within 6 hours, they were shaking. They couldn't walk. They would roll over. They had all the symptoms of Parkinson's. The group that got estradiol took 6 weeks to develop any symptoms of Parkinson's disease. Think about that for a second.
Sure, but you have to find the sweet spot of estradiol. Because
yes.
Too much.
Okay. I agree. But my the reason I'm saying this is because the sports industry they think suppression of estradiol is important, and it is if it's getting too high. But most men don't have enough estradiol. This is why men develop Parkinson's disease 5 times more frequently until women go through menopause, and then once they go through menopause, they catch up to us.
Mind that estrogens are also heart protected. Okay. That's why women do not have the cardiovascular disease before menopause.
Yes, but as you point out, when we look at women and men, the amount of estrogen that we can tolerate is very different. For a man, maybe sweet spot is 42 nanograms, or is it picograms? How do they measure estradiol? Nanograms or picograms?
Picograms, but it's between 20 and 40 is the best range.
Right, right, right.
If it goes above 50, personally, I have my... Nipples get itchy, you know?
Yeah. And that's a sign that this tissue in the breast is being stimulated, and you're going to see growth of the gland, and you will end up with gynecomastia.
However, guys are not sensitive. They have no issues about their 3-digital estradiol, and this is risky, you know, because of it induces thrombosis, estradiol. So somebody may have removed his gland, but his floating estrogens might be above 100, which is something not... healthy.
Not healthy for men. And interestingly enough, we see more and more women using testosterone and their derivatives in sports now. And we see more and more women dying very young of heart attacks who have spent years and years with very high testosterone levels. Just the same way high estrogen levels damages a man's heart, long-term high testosterone levels, super physiological levels damage a woman's heart. Isn't that true, Dr. Touliatos?
Yeah. Florence Griffith Joyner, she passed away at age 38. And she was, I mean, obviously she was a big-time steroid abuser in the 1988 Olympics. But yes, even though later she switched and she used to run marathon, I believe that she had irreversible health issues with her cardiovascular system, and she passed away during sleep.
And we just lost another female bodybuilder recently. I saw it posted somewhere, and she wasn't that old. So female bodybuilders need to be aware that a long-term superphysiological testosterone level, the testosterone levels found in men above 400, 500 nanograms, is not good for your heart.
Anything that is high in androgen. So even Anavar, which is the lowest androgenic steroid, if you give it, the side effects there are time-dependent and dose-dependent. That means a low dose of oxandrolone in the long term will accumulate and will induce all the non-reversible side effects of androgens in women, okay? It's not just about giving halotestin to women or trenbolone or testosterone, but also mild androgenic steroids, they can accumulate in the long term of abuse.
Now, the reason this is important is because right now there is a very, very popular triad of drugs that is being used in Hollywood to get female action stars ready for their roles. And I know this for a fact. I'm talking about this because I know people who train some of these stars. And the popular cocktail today is what you just said, low-dose Anavar, low-dose clenbuterol, and Cytomel T3, and they give this to the female movie stars, and they give it to them for significant periods of time, 6, 7, 8, 9 months, as they ready themselves for these roles. Yes.
I thought weeks.
No, months.
Carl, in 9 months on oxandrolone, you're going to crush your HDL and you're going to boost your liver.
Yeah, but they don't care because they're getting ready for a role in a movie that's going to make them $15 million. You think they care about that? They have someone telling them, once the movie is done, we'll you know, the doctor will get you back to normal. But they never come back to normal. In fact, they put on a lot of weight. A lot of times they lose their periods long term, and the long term damages are harmful. It needs to be spoken. These female actresses should not be using these drugs. What do you think, Dr. Touliatos?
Well, I would substitute the oxandrolone by DHEA, which is more healthy. And, you know, Cytomel, you know, and all these thyroid hormones, they are very they're very sensitive, and they can damage severely the TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone.
Right.
Also, now about clenbuterol, it has lipotropic effects. That means catabolize the adipose tissue, and also it's supposed to have some slight anabolic effects,
yes,
or anabolic effects, either by cortisol, blockage, or by myostatin, which is something that I read recently in Muscular Development. Anyway, now about I would also suggest one or two IUs of GH, which is something that rejuvenates also the Hollywood stars, you know, and can also enhance the fat burning process, and also can result in anti-catabolic effects.
The real problem I see with clenbuterol is it absolutely damages the heart. Long-term use on clenbuterol absolutely damages the heart. There's several good studies out there that it causes death of cardiomyocytes. Necrotic tissue builds up in the heart.
And left ventricular hypertrophy, because it stimulates blood pressure, increases blood pressure.
And one of the things that can actually protect against that is supplementing with additional copper. I have very good studies that show when rodents increase the pressure in the heart by using an aortic clamp, those who get copper supplemented in their diet, they don't develop the myopathy in the muscle. So bodybuilders and athletes who are using drugs that's increasing blood pressure really should be paying attention to their copper intake. Have you seen any of that research, Dr. Touliatos?
No, but about the clenbuterol abuse, personally, it is so nasty, this feeling of headache, but also headache to the occipital area, that means back to your neck, which reflects on blood pressure. And the causes of death by clenbuterol could be heart arrhythmia from ventricular tachycardia, and also vasoconstriction in coronary arteries that induces myocardial infarction. Also by systolic blood pressure in the brain, you can have a rupture of a cerebral aneurysm. But frankly, no, I have not read about this thing about copper.
I have a really good book that was compiled from a lecture that was done, a one-week-long lecture on methods and modalities for correcting a variety of heart problems. And the lecturers talked about two good studies that show that copper supplements can actually protect against cardiomyopathy and cardiohypertrophy due to hemodynamic changes. So this is something that a lot of athletes should pay attention to. They should supplement with 2 to 3 milligrams of copper a day. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to get your opinion of where you see the future of performance-enhancing drugs in sports going. They're not going to go away. They're being used right now. So let's talk about the level of use out there. And do you think that someday we will make peace with these drugs? We're talking with Dr. George Tuliatos. He's recently published a new book specifically about the topic called PEDS Use in Sports. Where can people get the book, George?
Okay.
Where can they get it, George, the book?
Sorry?
Where can they get your book? On Amazon?
On Amazon, yes. It's PEDS Use in Sports. And yes.
Okay, it's on Amazon.com. If you need to know more about, if you're a coach, if you're an athlete, this is a really important book for you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Have you ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous, signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body, crazy savings, insane results.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass, vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but 6 of their top sellers. That's right, 6 different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, That's EFXSports.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. You know, many, many years ago, I started making the analogy between training and eating. And what I mean by that is I used to say, look, you know, sometimes you can't get to the gym. You got to bust out a workout somewhere. You have to. Just because you like to go out to eat once in a while, you're not going to unplug your stove and your refrigerator and commit to going out to eat all the time. You got to be able to cook, too. You got to think of your training the same way. You've got to be able to train anywhere today. Sometimes you only have a half hour between something. You need to be able to bust out a workout. Busy lifestyles require a little creativity. So I've been saying this for years, and I've just discovered a new app that I got to tell you about that I think is essential for every one of my listeners. I'm a big fan of the app Swrkit, S-W-O-R-K-I-T. It's a digital fitness experience designed just for you, individualized. Imagine workouts that you can customize to fit whatever need you have and whatever time you have. Skip an exercise with the tap of a finger. And it delivers high quality videos on any device so you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. My listeners get 10% membership discount on top of a free 30-day trial. So check it out. You always need some new motivation to do things different. You got to spice it up. The Swrkit app can do that for you. Head over to Swrkit.com/super. Make sure you put the super in. You won't get the 10% off. That's Swrkit, Swrkit.com/super. And check it out today and sign up. We're talking with Dr. George Touliatos right now, all the way from Athens, Greece, the home of physical culture. Remember, Greco-Roman wrestling. Everything is Greco-Roman. And so the beginning of all training started there. And we're talking about performance-enhancing drugs because he just released a new book exposing the truth about PEDs in sports. On a global basis, we've talked about a little bit, you know, some countries are laxed about these drugs when used in the general population. But obviously, the authorities governing different sports like WADA, they frown on these things. Are they being short-sighted? Should they just say, look, everybody's using them. Only a few people are getting caught. You know, we don't use the same baseball bats that Babe Ruth used or the gloves. We don't use the same bicycles that early cyclists use. We leverage technology. Tiger Woods had radiokeratotomy to improve his vision so he could see further. I know a pitcher who had a ligament in his shoulder and his elbow rerouted so he could pitch for 5 more seasons. Why is that okay, but not sticking a needle in your butt and using a drug?
You know why? Because sponsoring wouldn't fund allegedly doped games and doped athletes. I mean, as Dick Pound said, who's going to watch a set-up Olympic game? But this is baloney because the human body, the human performance has some limits. I mean, in 2000, whoever thought that Usain Bolt would cross the 9.6 seconds barrier? And I believe, Carl, it's all part of the system, meaning that the elite athletes, in a way, they don't get busted in order to attract more spectators. And this is the part of the whole system, the commercials. And, you wouldn't pay a $100 ticket in order to see 100 meters in 10 seconds, okay? It's no fun like this.
Right.
So supposedly they attract the big names, and it's like the NBA Dream Team. They said, if you want us in the Olympics, you're not going to take blood from us, you know, check out the anti-doping system, you know. So they are excluded in order to have the showtime.
So the reality is that everybody knows that athletes are using. They couldn't reach these levels of performance without these drugs. So that means that everybody's profiting on it. The sponsors, the organization, they're all profiting from this. But the reality is that the athlete is akin to back in the day when women had to go to somebody's apartment to get an abortion. They're putting their lives at risk to do this. The athletes are at that level now because they're using these drugs, and in most cases they are really unmonitored by doctors. It would be so much better if these organizations would go, we know they're using, we have to stop, we don't want the game to go slower, we don't want the athletes to be slower and weaker, we want things to keep progressing, we need to leverage these things. It's not a horrible idea. And this way, they'll actually work with team doctors who would say to a guy, you need to supplement with copper to make sure that your heart is protected. And don't tell me it's because these drugs are dangerous. Because as we're finding out, just playing football is dangerous. All these guys got concussions and it ruined their lives. If you really believe that these drugs are dangerous, then you need to dismantle most sports today.
Sure, Carl, but why they are dangerous? Because they work in under abuse. So when in medicine you prescribe 50 milligrams of nandrolone every 2 weeks for bone healing, it's not the same like 500 milligrams a week for muscle growth. The same goes for oxandrolone and every kind of steroid. So it's the abuse that brings the plethora of the side effects and also the enhancing performance, the performance enhancing results, you know?
But the abuse is the reason for the extreme levels of performance today. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Do not neglect the hard work, the discipline, and the talent, okay? That nobody is equal.
Do you think that Eddie Hall, and I don't know that Eddie Hall uses drugs, but do you think that somebody like an Eddie Hall could deadlift? What was his last deadlift? 1,100 pounds? I mean, he's 1,102 pounds, okay?
Yes, 500 kilograms.
Yeah, 500 kilograms. That's more than a half a ton. Do you think that an athlete that does that kind of extreme effort with his body he's not using 500 milligrams of Nandrolone, 50 milligrams of Nandrolone. He's got to be using a lot more of these drugs.
I think he's using high levels of androgens like fluoxymesterone, like halotestine, testosterone. Okay, androgen brings the muscle strength. You don't need so much about muscle development that you need androgens. So it's halotestine and testosterone, some very basic stuff. And also some CNS stimulants like ephedrine, you know, or Ecostack.
So let's tell a lot of people may not know what the Ecostack is because they haven't been around the game. But ECA used to be the ideal pre-workout fat-burning stack. It was ephedrine, caffeine, and aspirin.
And the ratio was 30 grams of ephedrine, 300 grams of caffeine.
No, milligram. You mean milligrams.
Milligrams.
Yeah, you said, I don't want anybody to take 30 grams of ephedrine, please.
It was 30 ephedrine, it was 300 caffeine, and I guess it was 300 also aspirin or 500. Yeah. Anyway, it was a very good appetite suppressor, you know, ephedrine. And it helps you during diet seasons because it suppresses appetite, especially when combined to caffeine. But it also stimulates thermogenesis and for focus and mentality. And it has a half-life about 3 to 6 hours. And the point is that you take this just before the workout, unlike clenbuterol that works for 36 to 48 hours. So it has more time to work and it's accumulated less fast. The point with ephedrine was that you can have a heart attack or you can have a stroke.
Right.
For the same reasons that clenbuterol and all the CNS stimulants do.
Right.
And also the withdrawal effect was horrible. You know, it was like cocaine abuse, and then you don't have the white powder to get alerted, and then it was a horrible withdrawal effect.
Right.
Well, you felt like a zombie when you run out of ephedrine, you know, and caffeine.
Yeah, the ECA stack was the big thing back then. I've never used it. I've always been very respectful of stimulants because I know that they can you could die from a stimulant. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, the diet fueled by Twinlab. Somebody took the whole, took 10 times a dose and he passed away in Florida.
Caffeine. You mean caffeine anhydrous, right?
No, in diet fuel, there was Mahuang. It was the ephedra thing.
Yes. But recently, someone died from taking too much caffeine anhydrous, and people went to the FDA and wanted them to ban the powder, and they didn't do it.
It's the bad use. It's the abuse. It's not the... Caffeine is useful, but the abuse of caffeine can be lethal, you know?
Yeah. Nicotine is another one. And then Adele Moussa just did a brilliant blog.
Nicotine is a powerful nootropic, okay? And also it's a metabolic rate. But it also induces blood vessel constriction, you know? So it narrows the coronary arteries.
The nasty thing about nicotine is that it actually upregulates brain... derived neurotropic factor, which creates new neurons, but the neurons that it creates are specifically for the addiction. And this is why nicotine is so much harder to kick than people think, because nicotine actually builds brain nerves, neurons, that make it addictive. So the more you use it, the stronger that addiction becomes. And so when people can't kick nicotine, and you think it's like, oh, well, you know, I stopped drinking coffee. It's not the same thing. Nicotine actually has an effect of reconstructing areas of the brain.
It's highly euphoric, like opiate.
Yeah, I use it once in a blue moon. If I feel like I'm dull, I'll take 2 milligram nicotine gum and chew it. It tastes terrible. But, man, it wakes you up. But I don't do it more than once or twice a month, if at all.
Have you heard of modafinil?
Yes, I have used it. I've used that and adrafinil, yes.
Is this amphetamine related?
No, it's not, actually. It's not amphetamine related. They developed that drug specifically for narcoleptics to help them from falling asleep. And now everybody abuses it, from airline pilots to college students. And so it's becoming a very, very popular drug to be abused.
Doesn't it work similarly to amphetamines?
I don't think it works similar to amphetamine at all, because it doesn't increase heart rate or blood pressure. It just increases mental alertness. I'm not a scientist, so don't flame me after I say this, but I believe it has an effect on adenosine triphosphate. So ATP, adenosine, when you work a lot, adenosine triphosphate is cleaved. The adenosine by itself accumulates in the brain and causes the need for sleep. The more adenosine that accumulates, the sleepier you get. I think it blocks the uptake of adenosine. Now, if I'm wrong, don't flame me, because, like I said, I'm not a scientist, but that's the way I believe it works.
Yeah, so if it doesn't boost the heart rate, then it's not involved with adrenaline.
No. You don't have to worry about getting a heart attack from it, and it's easy to abuse because it makes you feel pretty good. You know, it just makes you feel alert, and soldiers use it now. Everybody's using it. It's a matter of fact, there's a dozen websites that you can buy it now online, you know, like kind of research chemical type websites. You can buy it online for like 25 cents or 50 cents a pill. If you go to the doctor and have a physician write you a prescription for it, a 30-day supply is close to $300.
A lot, huh?
Crazy. The other thing that I wanted to talk about for a second is probably the most powerful androgen known to man today, which is trenbolone. There were doctors that were using very low doses of trenbolone. One doctor I know personally, because he had a patient that couldn't tolerate testosterone for some reason. I don't know if he had prostate cancer or something like that. And so he was just giving him just 50 milligrams of trenbolone and anthate every 2 weeks, and gave the guy quality of life that was unparalleled. And he got put in jail here in the United States.
I would suggest nandrolone, which is also a pharmaceutical grade, right?
Trenbolone. I don't know what he was using, but I know it was trenbolone and anthate. That's all I know.
I would suggest the use of nandrolone instead of trenbolone, you know, which is brain toxic.
Yes, I know. They're actually linking that use to Alzheimer's disease now. So can you prescribe trenbolone in Greece?
No, it's not available. It's underground stuff.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
In 20 years ago, was available in France for HIV patients and cachexia induced by cancer. You know, but it was the parabolan, was the hexa, the intermediate ester.
Parabolin, right. I remember that. Yeah, and there was even an oral one that was very toxic to the liver, and it was only on the market for a short time for cachexia also, for muscle wasting. I want to say, I can't think of the name of it, but it'll probably come to me during the break. So,
methyltrienolone.
What's that?
Methyltrienolone, M3. Oral testing.
Methyltrienolone. Yes, methyltrienolone. That's it. Yes, you're right. Methyltrienolone.
This is perhaps the most liver toxic pill available, but it has a tremendous anabolic and androgenic activity.
Yeah, it's very, very dangerous. So, George, what about other countries? What about other countries in Europe? Are doctors free to prescribe these types of drugs for their patients?
I don't know about the doctors, but I think in UK and especially in England, possession is not prohibited. And possession involves a small quantity of stock, you know. Dealing is something felony, but possession in England is not something banned. I don't know about Ireland. Also, I guess in Holland, Deca was produced by Norma. By Organon. I know in Scandinavia the rules are strict. In Italy also, testosterone is produced. In Spain, Winstrol, Primobolan, Clomburol, testosterone also. In the Balkans, Bulgaria used to have a pharmaceutical-grade methandienone, that means dianabol, and also clenbuterol. Germany, I mean, has the testoviron, which is the best testosterone and anthate, but also used to produce primobolan in pill, in oral form. Turkey has the primobolan, the pot, the primobolan anthate, the injectable. I don't know about Cyprus if it produced anything, any kind of steroid.
But the reality is this. Other than the United States, most countries have what could only be considered a relaxed approach to these types of drugs. Now, this is outside of governing bodies over sports, but just in general, here in the United States, there are men sitting in prison cells right now for possessing testosterone without a prescription.
And also SARMs, you know.
Yeah.
Ray Collins recently wrote an article in the latest Muscle Development says that possession of SARMs can get you in jail.
Yeah, and I don't like SARMs because
they are substances like narcotics.
They don't work very well. And why even bother with them when testosterone works and it's natural to the body?
Sure, they're not regarded as supplements. You know, they're not about substituting nutrition. They are performance enhancing substances that are not supposed to be nutritional facts.
So
also, SARMs, they mess up with the lipids and liver enzymes, and also they suppress the axis.
Right.
I have noticed that to patients.
Yeah, and it doesn't do anything to build muscle. And the other thing I want to mention before the next break is Adel Moussa did a fantastic blog the other day, and he basically said it's time to be honest as it relates to competitive cyclists. They all have asthma, wink, wink. They're all on inhalable albuterol. They all claim to have asthma, and it's not that at all. It's because albuterol is very similar to clenbuterol, just a little weaker, right?
And also salbutamol, which is inhaled. I also use albuterol before the gym, you know, take two breaths.
Uh-huh.
And it helps me breathe deeper, you know, and it doesn't stimulate the heart rate as clenbuterol, but it has no effect on blood pressure, and you can breathe, you can suck the air much more efficiently.
Yeah, and so, isn't that, in fact, a performance-enhancing drug, then?
Yes, it is. It is, and actually, I guess it's above two inhales. So in WADA, they have a certain limits where you can use, under medical prescription, a drug, but not, of course, under abuse of it. And beta-2 agonists are very helpful in endurance athletes that, you know, they increase the VO2 max and the cardiorespiratory performance. And also it stimulates beta metabolisms, you know. I mean, practically, it's, I mean, technically, it's an asthma drug that permits you to use more air, and through increased heart rate, stimulates basal metabolic rate.
But the reality is that ephedrine does that as well. In fact, ephedrine is in asthma medication, right?
No, not particularly asthma, but ephedrine is also a beta-2 agonist, but it's prescribed for allergic rhinitis. That means when your nose runs. So it does peripheral vasoconstriction. That means constricting the nasal veins that have this kind of leakage under a flu or when your nose is running. And this affects the peripheral vasoconstriction, that it stops the nasal, you know, the running and all this mucus production. It was also available in Greece 20 years ago in a nasal form with Vaseline, and you could put it inside your when your nose was full up by mucus, and you could, you know, improve your breathing through nose, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, but ephedrine, yes, it's similar to clenbuterol, but it's used for the upper respiratory infections and narrowing, you know, the improvement of breathing.
So I want to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you a question about performance-enhancing drugs, and I'm going to give you an example of what I think is a performance-enhancing drug, but apparently... lots of other sports organizations don't. We're talking with Dr. George Tsouliatos. His recent book is called Peds Use in Sports. It's available at Amazon.com. It's a fantastic book. It covers a lot of ground. He spent his entire career researching, and he is a former athlete, so he knows firsthand the things that work, the things that don't, and also the potential long-term effects of those things. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000 or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Talking with Dr. George Tuliatos about performance-enhancing drugs. Your athletes, your favorite athletes are using them. Don't think they're not. And, you know, the NFL is pretty slick. I heard from someone whose words I trust that the NFL has a maximum testosterone level for their athletes of 2,000 nanograms a deciliter. Now, think about that. No human without supplementation has that. And the reality is that they have that so that no one ever gets caught as long as they stay under that. You could do 500 milligrams of test a week and stay under 2,000. So the NFL, do you want your athletes to be smaller, not hit as hard? No. It's happening. It's happening right now. You're sitting there. Your kids are rooting for them, and they're using drugs. So let's stop the nonsense. Let's stop playing games. Let's stop lying about it. Let's make it so that all athletes can use and they have supervision. That's it. So now I'm going to show you why that argument is valid. Dr. Tuliatos, briefly, give me your best example of what exactly constitutes a performance-enhancing drug? A drug that does what?
Well, stimulates muscle growth, neuromuscular contraction, also VO2 max, that means respiratory capacity, also endurance by increasing hemoglobin and myoglobin, more aggression and more mentality. And also fat burning is something useful because muscle and adipose tissue are related reversely. So the more muscle you have and the less fat, then the more effective your body is.
So would you agree with me that any drug that takes a person before they use it and their level of ability in a given sport is X, and then they take that drug and their level of ability in that given sport is X plus X. Would you agree that that is performance enhancing?
Yes, but when you use drugs, and what I consult my clients is, you don't use the, I'm talking about track athletes, okay, but because bodybuilding is obviously a sport under doping, but in track sports, you're supposed to withdraw the use about at least 1 month before in order to
pass the test.
To eliminate, yes, However, the positive effects and the enhancing effects come through training. So about 2 months before the show, the games, you have to use and utilize at the most the drug you're using in order to enhance your performance at the day of the show, at the day of the games. So everything comes through training, you know. The better you're trained and the better time you and the better performance you have under training seasons, then the better you will perform during the day of your show, of your game, of your sport.
Okay, so, and again, I'm looking for a lowest common denominator explanation. So here I'm going to pose you a question. If I'm a pole vaulter, and I can pole vault a 9-foot height without any drugs, and then I take a drug and I can pole vault 10 feet, did that enhance my performance?
Yes, sure.
Okay, so that's a performance-enhancing drug. If I'm a golfer and I can swing and drive a ball, and I don't know how far golfers drive balls, I don't follow, but let's say I can drive a ball 300 yards, then I take a drug and I can drive that ball consistently 350 yards when I use that drug. Did that drug enhance my performance?
I'm not sure if it's necessary in golfing. I mean, do you suppose that Tiger Woods was doped?
No, but Phil Mickelson is.
On what?
Okay, so Phil Mickelson has psoriatic arthritis.
Oh, okay, this helps, okay? I mean, when you have arthritis, apparently nadrolone can help us.
Okay, so wait, now, but listen to this. So, Phil, look, right now there are old athletes out there who cannot get testosterone replacement to replace their testosterone levels to youthful levels, okay? And so clearly this is a medical condition, and they're being told they can't treat their medical condition because they'd be considered drug users in the sport. Phil Mickelson could not play golf without Embril. Isn't Embril a performance-enhancing drug in his case?
Yeah, so it was the same with Sharapova.
Wait. Let's stick with Phil for a second. Because Sharapova, you know, she may have lied about using certain things to increase cardiac output. Phil Mickelson is the poster boy for the Embril drug. I mean, he advertises Embril. He talks about, oh, man, it keeps me playing the game. This guy, this is my problem, folks. This is my problem. We're not being absolute about drug use, right? We're not being absolute about what can be done for an athlete to improve his performance and what can't, or her performance. Phil Mickelson couldn't play a round of golf without Embril. Shouldn't he be forced to play without Embril? Because the old athlete can't go and get testosterone and I can't play anymore. I don't have the energy I used to have. Well, that's too bad. You can't get testosterone. Phil goes, I can't play because my joints are stiff. They should say to him, well, that's too bad.
No, you can justify your drug use before the show with a lawyer in case you have a medical disease.
No, but they won't. No, you're wrong. So they won't let them do that in baseball. A baseball player cannot get on HRT and extend his career 2 or 3 years. No, can do. Can't. Cannot. But Phil Mickelson can keep winning millions of dollars and being the poster boy for Embril when Embril is, in fact, the exact classification of a performance-enhancing drug in his case.
Yeah.
It is. You can't argue with me on this one, Dr. Tuliatos. This is a fact, and this is my frustration. So Phil Mickelson can go out there and play golf and win millions of dollars, fanning his nose at everybody, saying, I use a performance-enhancing drug, but because Big Pharma is behind it, we got to be careful. We don't want to piss anybody off.
Yeah, he's a hot shot, and he attracts spectators and contracts.
I say Phil Mickelson should lose all of his titles because he played using a drug that he would not have been able to drive the ball that far. He may not have been able to stay on the field as long. I say he's been using performance-enhancing drugs, and he needs to be stripped, just like they did to the cyclist?
Armstrong.
Yeah.
But Armstrong was a cancer survivor, and he could allegedly use steroids in order to prevent catabolism and cachexia,
muscle waste. Phil Mickelson is a fraud. I'm sorry, Phil. You're probably a nice guy. You're a family man and all that. But the fact that you play golf using a drug that enables you to play at the level you play, you are using performance-enhancing drugs, and you should be struck down like everybody in your past. Every athlete that's been punished for using a performance-enhancing drug in order to enhance his ability to play, you should join their ranks.
What about if you can have a paper from a medical prescription, you can justify the use of it?
I just said, Dr. George, an athlete can't, an old athlete can't go and say, look, I'm on HRT because I'm aging and I don't have the energy anymore.
There was an athlete in Athens Olympics. She won the gold medal in walking, in 20 kilometers of walking. And she used albuterol, and later she was busted with salbutamol. And she says, I'm asthmatic, so... She didn't return her medal. You know?
But see, that's what Adele Moussa just wrote about. All these cyclists are saying they're asthmatic, but they're really not. They just want to use albuterol.
Yeah, it's not just about beta 2. They use EPO. Come on, they use steroids.
Again. None of that matters if you take Phil Mickelson out of the picture. But the fact that Phil Mickelson is playing golf and using a drug that enables him to play at that level, now we have. This is your rules, and this is his rules.
Yes. I believe he's part of the game. He's part of the system, you know?
No, it's what I said, George. Embril is a drug that is a biologic. Biologics are sold to people who have autoimmune disorders. These drugs are hundreds of dollars a dose. These drugs make hundreds of billions of dollars for pharmaceutical companies. So we have this big... industry.
That's a big fun thing, huh?
Yeah, and they're saying, well, we're different. You can't treat us like that because we're medicine. Well, testosterone is medicine for a guy who needs it.
Yes, of course.
Nah, it's nonsense. Okay, so you do agree with me then, right?
It's a life-saving medicine. You know, you need it for life. You know, this replacement. But it's a drug, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Phil Mickelson, man, I'm waiting for someone somewhere to pick up on this. I've been talking about this exact thing for 5 years now. Like, why is Phil Mickelson able to use Embril so that he can play the sport? And there are other athletes out there that need hormone-based drugs so they can continue to play, but they can't.
What about Sharapova? She used this this medication for her heart. That it was not in the list 5 years ago, but it showed up on the list the next year, huh?
Right.
Ironic.
Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale and I talked about this phenomenon and that drug and how it improves endurance and how it improves cardiac output. And we did a show last year about it when she first got called on the carpet about it. Yes. Yes. And she's been using it for a long time, and she has a medical condition that requires it, just like Phil Mickelson.
But it's not a steroid, you know, because they say that the Serena sisters, especially the Williams, Serena, yes.
Yes.
She must be using something. I mean, she's extraordinarily muscular. And it's weird because
I got to be honest with you. I think that there are women out there who have exceptionally high testosterone levels naturally. I've met them in my life. I've met women in my life that I know aren't using drugs, and they are able to put on muscle quickly. My sister was one of them. My sister was only 5 foot tall, but she was able to gain muscle very, very quickly. And I think these women are outliers on the fringe of what we consider epidemiological norms for testosterone levels in women.
Polycystic ovaries also have high androgens in women, huh?
Yes. You know, yes. When you look at women who have PCOS, they have very, very high androgen levels also, but that's a result of the PCOS. But they develop hair on their face, their voices change, they become aggressive, they have very, very high libidos. So this
insulin,
is...
Yeah.
Yes, yes, you're saying insulin resistance brings that on, right?
Yes.
Right.
In women, androgen have the opposite effect like in men. They induce insulin resistance in men, and they induce insulin sensitivity.
Yes, yes. All right, I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to address something else that's a big lie, and that is roid rage, okay?
Well, according to you, but
it's not real. I'm gonna debate you on this, but I'm gonna tell you, roid rage is not real any more than drinking beer and getting drunk leads to fights, also, and it has nothing to do with steroids.
It's not just about aggression; it's also about misconception and psychosis.
Let's talk about it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperHumanRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using Can-See eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit Can-See eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. Can-See eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. I was supposed to have my Quest pizzas this weekend, but they didn't show up. I'm anxiously awaiting them. I've heard nothing but amazing things. They will be in all Target stores, I think, tomorrow. So I'm sure you have a Target in your area. Go check them out. I've been told that you will not be able to tell the difference between the Quest pizza and a real pizza, and I believe a serving has like 3 grams of carbs. I can't wait. Okay, so we're talking with Dr. George Tuliatos. I want to address roid rage for a second. So are you saying that androgen abuse leads to aggressive behavior in men?
Absolutely. Even testosterone abuse, supraphysiological levels over 250 milligrams per week, they can trigger hypomanic episodes. That doesn't mean that you get a bipolar effect, but they can affect aggression. And it's not just about aggression, the roid rage. It's also about deeper things, like when your thinking is not under control, like psychosis, when you have misconceptions and illusions and you understand different things and you believe people, they talk behind your back.
There are two good studies out there I'm sure you've seen. They were done about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, using rodents, and they gave them the equivalent of 1,000 milligrams a day of testosterone. They castrated the males, and then they put them in situations where they had to respond. And what they determined was this. They were not initially aggressive. They acted appropriately to a threat. But when threatened, they responded with greater force and greater aggression. So that means that they weren't driven to be aggressive. But like if you bump into somebody in the hall and you go, oh, excuse me, they don't go, F you, man. No, they go, oh, no problem. They walk on. But if you bump into somebody in the hall and you turn around and instead of saying, excuse me, they reach into their pocket and start pulling out a knife, you come down on them like the Empire State Building falling on them. That's the difference. Now, I want to ask you this question. Men go out and get drunk. They become aggressive, right?
Yes.
Are they aggressive?
Works differently in the brain, you know? It's a relaxant. Initially, it's relaxing, but also, yes, it can be. You can increase aggression by alcohol.
But when we talk about alcoholics, people say, oh, he's a fun alcoholic. Oh, he's a mean alcoholic, right? So some people have a predisposition. Alcohol doesn't make everybody aggressive, right?
Of course, yes, I agree. Predisposition and personal history, medical history is something very important.
So I vehemently disagree with the idea that superphysiological levels of androgens cause someone to be aggressive.
There are some studies that show there is histological and neuronal, in limbic system, in hippocampus and amygdala,
right?
There are histological, neural damage.
Oh, there is damage done. Okay.
Apoptosis.
So cellular death. It actually starts to kill the area of the brain.
Trembling also takes you closer to Alzheimer's disease.
Yes. I've seen those studies, too. They're scary. I used trembolone back in the day, and I'm
just hoping. Yes. So do I.
But here's my submission to you. There are guys out there that want a pit bull, not because they love the breed, but because they feel that by having this dog, everyone will be afraid of them. Because they have something lacking in their personal character. They have some sort of flaw in their personal character where they feel small, weak, and unable to control their world. So they think, if I have more muscle, people will be afraid of me. And if I take steroids, I'll be more aggressive. Those people, when they use anabolic steroids, they become aggressive because they are a-holes before they took the steroids. These people are looking for a reason. They're looking for something to make them feel stronger. What's that?
They are arrogant, yes.
Yeah, but it's not so much that they're arrogant. They want people to be afraid of them for some reason. Because I have gone through some parts of my life that a lot of people would have reacted with great aggression, you know, and I have been on some of the highest androgen levels at that time of my life. And in fact, I felt more calm and in control. I felt like it's going to be okay. I just think if you have a predisposition to being an a-hole, drinking too much alcohol will make you a bigger a-hole, and taking anabolic steroids will make you a bigger a-hole. That's just my thinking.
So were you as calm as a cat even under stressing conditions?
Say that again?
Were you as calm as a cat even under stressful conditions?
Absolutely. I was being threatened to be put in jail. I had someone who was literally sucking money out of my life, and I was on 2 grams of test, a gram of Deca, 400 milligrams of Trenenanthate, and a handful of orals at the time. It was when I was training I had dreams of being a competitive powerlifter.
I see. Have you heard about these people, some men who are bald, and they're supposed to produce more DHT, that's why they lose their hair?
Yes, I agree, but I think that there's
They're more edgy and horny because of DHT, increased DHT.
Make you more what?
They're more edgy and sexually aroused, you know. When you have natural production of testosterone, DHT higher.
Right.
You're more prone to be, you know, edgy and lose your temper.
Well, I mean, I've used lots of Masterone. It didn't make me more aggressive. I don't know. I come back to the idea that if you are someone who feels small and you want a pit bull and you want to be scary to people, then when you take anabolic steroids, you're just going to be a jerk because that's what you want.
Maybe Carl, it's the combination with hard diet and low carbs also and fatigue. And
yeah, that could be too. Because that makes you cranky. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, that's possible too. So we have a question from Tim Bruce. In all of your years, have you found anything that truly the natural athlete can benefit from to either raise testosterone, increase performance, increase VO2 max? Do you have a list of supplements that you like?
Yes, of course. B12, folate and iron, they increase the hemoglobin production, and they increase stamina and VO2 max and cardiorespiratory capacity. Also, creatine monohydrate cycles, the loading phase. Citrulline pre-workout, beta-alanine, carnosine, and sodium bicarbonate, they can act as lactate buffers, and they can increase the anaerobic threshold. Also, HMB, pre-workout and leucine post-workout, they can induce mTOR synthesis and also anti-catabolic effect. Glutamine also post-workout, it can improve the glycogen retention, and it's a major anti-catabolic amino acid. Is the most abundant amino acid in the skeletal muscle. These are the ergogenic supplements. I mean, of course, Mahuang, but it's no longer manufactured. And some nootropics as well, like tyrosine with caffeine, mm-hmm. Phenylalanine. And St. John's Wort also, they work. And
why St. John's Wort?
Because it makes you feel better. It's
does it it's really?
Alternatively to depression, you know, some alternative. These Chinese holistic doctors they suggest the St. John's Wort at 300 milligrams. It makes you feel better.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, as a depressive patient, I used to try it, but, you know, no major effects like the SSRIs. But SSRIs, they have other side effects, of course.
SSRIs are horrible. They don't make people feel better. They just make people not feel.
You know, I couldn't masturbate, Carl, when I was under SSRIs.
Yeah. Women neither. They can't orgasm, which tells you if you take an SSRI, orgasm is a very, very tightly held dance between serotonin and norepinephrine and dopamine. And these neural hormones, they have to rise and fall in a certain way in order for you to climax an orgasm. And so the SSRIs completely screw that up. You just forget about having an orgasm ever again.
Yeah. Psychiatrists have not realized what is the cause of depression in men over 40. So it's mainly hormonal related in testosterone. So they give an SSRI like Prozac, and they make things worse because, you know, it's also some urologists prescribe Viagra or Cialis, but apparently this is not a libido enhancer. It just increases the flow. So again, the problem is not considered from the real cause.
I also think that PDE5 inhibitors, phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitors, which all of these erectile function drugs fall into the class, stimulates dopamine. The research that I've looked at looks to me like they can have an effect on libido. They can.
Because dopamine, you know, it's the satisfaction of being a hormone. It makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it makes you happy. It makes you feel amorous. It makes you feel amorous. You know, you want to have sex. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think that they do. Some of the research that I've seen, because I've looked a lot at them, because they also cause a lot of gastric distress.
In bodybuilding, they use PED, you know, for vascular relaxation and vasodilation for venous pump, you know.
But that's stupid because it doesn't work on that type of nitric oxide. That's complete stupid. Of course, because PDE5 inhibitors work on a specific type of.
Viagra was synthesized by cardiologists for pulmonary hypertension.
Yeah, but it didn't work. It didn't drop anybody's blood pressure. That's my point. Bodybuilders use PDE5 inhibitors, they say, because they want to cause a better pump. They're better off using L-citrulline because that doesn't influence that type of nitric oxide production. And the reality is that they're using it because they like the ability to get a spontaneous erection. That's what it is. And then, you know, I'm just being real here. That's what it is. And it also does affect dopamine, I'm telling you. But it also affects something else. I'm going on Dave Palumbo's show Wednesday of this week, and I'm going to talk about my opinion of what's going on with people's guts. And this is part of it. But PDE5 inhibitors cause relaxation of the esophageal sphincter and cause GERD and silent GERD that causes snoring and sleep apnea. And it also disrupts phosphodiesterase inhibitors disrupt the microbial diversity of the gut. And they change the microbes in the gut that lead to inflammation. If any of these pharmaceutical companies were smart, they would make them enterically coated so they open up further down from the gut. But, you know, I was talking to Dr. Ken Brown. He'll be back on the show very shortly. He's a brilliant gastroenterologist. And he said GERD went up, like, dramatically in men when Viagra first came out. These guys were coming in. They were going, I got such bad heartburn, Doc. And then he started asking questions like, yeah, I took Viagra this weekend a couple times. When did the heartburn start? Well, it started this weekend. Okay, stop taking the Viagra. No, I can't, Doc, I can't. So these drugs are leading to gastrointestinal issues as well. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason for people having gut problems. It's not. There are hormonal influences as well. But these PDE5 inhibitors are not helping things. Not helping things at all. That's my 2 cents. My 2 cc's. So, George, how long has the book been out? George, did I lose you? Uh-oh. George? George, can you hear me? I think you may have killed your microphone. Oh, he just hung up. Okay, we lost the connection with Dr. Tuliatos, and that's okay because we're coming to the end of the interview. I want to plug his book again. The book is PEDS Use, P-E-D-S, PEDS Use in Sports, A Physician and Former Athlete's Perspective by Dr. George Tuliatos, M.D., and it's available at Amazon.com. George still trains very, very hard. He's still in the game. He knows what he knows, and he's a go-to doctor for a lot of athletes. And we need to loosen things up here in the United States, and I think that the organizations that control sports need to have a real honest discussion about PEDs, because it's time to stop treating them like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde drugs. They're not. They are effective, and they can be safe if used with proper supervision. And let's stop lying about performance-enhancing drugs. Because everybody, all the athletes are using them, and they're abusing them because they're not having someone work with them, and they're going to have problems with them up the road, and it doesn't have to be that way at all. And again, I'm waiting for somebody to go out after Phil Mickelson and say, you know, you got all these titles while using a performance-enhancing drug. No, I didn't. I had to take that drug. No, you didn't have to take it. You could have lived with your psoriatic arthritis. And clearly, if you didn't take that drug, you wouldn't be the champion you are today. So isn't that exactly the definition of a performance-enhancing drug? It's only Monday. We got lots of good shows this week. We're kicking it off with a Bond Burner. Pass this show around. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.